May I welcome you to another standing between the living and the dead service, a memorial prayer devotional. Evangelistic service for the glory of God, for the lifting up of Jesus Christ, for the comfort of those who are grieving in the worst time in American history, in the worst time in our lifetime for sure, and encouragement to those saints who don't know what to do, and salvation voice to the lost. As always, for my main calling is life, in life is to be an evangelist. My main calling is to proclaim the gospel, to preach the gospel, to get lost sinners saved. God leads me to do other things that lead up to that. And so we thank God for your presence. We thank God that we're here. And in this day and time, everybody ought to thank God that they are somewhere on this earth. This is, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White, the third son of Daniel White Jr., who is now in heaven. President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Daily Devotional Bible Reading, episode number 327, where I simply read three chapters of the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day with my family, starting since the day after Thanksgiving last year. And so we're closing in on completing reading through the Bible. And we, of course, been reading the Bible together as a family for 33 years. So this is not a pat on the back kind of a thing. We're not seeking any applause. It's no biggie to us. It's what we ought to do, should do, must do, and love to do. At least I love to do it. My wife has been pleading with me to take a break and not do all that God has called me to do. But I have not hearkened to her voice. I'm going to continue to hearken to the voice of God, because God has been very good to me. And by the grace of God, I've been reading the Bible every day for 40 years since I got saved, December the 19th, 1979. And again, that is not a big deal to me. That's just what a born-again Christian does. It's in you to do that. Is in you to do that. It's no. We're not super spiritual. We're just doing basic, fundamental Christianity. You pray in the morning. You read the Bible. That's what you do. I believe God tells you to do that. No one really told me. No human being really told me. Maybe I read a few things about devotions, I guess, when I was a young Christian, but it wasn't a big deal. God put it in my heart. I did it before. I did it years before I got married. And I benefited from it so much that when we got married, that's how we started off our marriage and family, praying and reading the Bible in the morning. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we do this as a part of our family devotions. And we are doing the podcast. We put on podcasts this time. And we've done something like this a few years ago. But this year God called me to do this for real, because I would not be doing this. It's too much to try to do it in your own strength. But God called me to do this, particularly because of the situation that we're facing in this world. And we do the podcast to encourage you to read the Holy Bible in a year's time with your family. That's what we want. We want to encourage you to leave us and read the Bible in your family. And you don't have to read all three chapters. You don't have to take a half an hour to do this. You can take 10 minutes and read one chapter. There have been years we would just read the family verses in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 and one other chapter. And sometimes we just focused on certain chapters and certain books and so forth. Today, beloved, we are reading 2 Chronicles chapter 21, Isaiah chapter 43, and Micah chapter 5. President Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough knowledge of the Holy Bible is worth more than a college education." Now, he knocked that one out of the park, because that is so true. In fact, you're not educated at all. I don't care who you think you are, or down in the hood, I don't care who you think you is. You're not educated if you don't know the Bible. You'll find that out when you go to college, that a whole lot of sayings and things you will not understand if you had not read the Bible. If you have not read the Bible. It's interwoven into our history and our past. And people play off of it, even though sometimes they don't know it. Horatius Bonar said, "We must study the Bible more. We must not only lay it up within us, but transfuse it through the whole texture of the soul." Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure, for real, to read in your hearing the Word of God found at 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And I want to say a special thank you to my daughter, Daniqua. She's the birthday girl this week. And the truth of the matter is, she's the backbone of what we do here. All that you see every day, she has her hand in it. And including the podcast, she's over that. And she is very faithful to the Lord in her work. And we thank God for her. I thank God for her. 2 Chronicles 21. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, and Jehiel, and Zechariah, and Azariah, and Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit, the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he made, that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he rose up by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah and brake into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure and joy to read in your hearing Isaiah chapter 43. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you the glory and we give you the praise and the honor, for all of it is due your name. For all of the millions and manifold blessings you have bestowed upon us and beyond that, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the salvation, spiritual, family, life, financial, material, protection, and provision blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. And Lord, as you have blessed me to be able to say oftentimes down through the years, if you never blessed us again, Lord, we have been truly a blessed people. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for all of that. And hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Holy Father God, we individually and collectively, hopefully, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Lord, help every soul in here to truly pray at this time. Help everybody else who is with us around the world to pray as well. For Jesus Christ's sake, have continued mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our wicked, evil, and ungodly flesh within us and the old man within us, and fill us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that idea that you just gave me while praying, that answer to prayer. I never thought about that before. Lord, I pray that everybody who is praying with me would get answers to their prayers while they're praying. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, the satanic demonic spirit of Jezebel, Sanballat and Tobias. Betrayal, treachery, rebelliousness, evil, distraction and hindrance, hatred, bitterness. Lord, drive these demonic spirits out of the hearts and minds and lives of people who are here and people who are out there, wherever it is. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, cast those devils out. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, I do pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from each and every one of us today. And place upon us the whole arm of God, surround us with the band of your holy angels. We pray that you'll take us by our feeble and weak hands and truly lead us, guide us, and direct us in the path and in the way that you want us to go. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would deliver us, each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of the lost in this country and around the globe. We pray for the revival of the saved in this country and around the globe. And we pray, Lord, for the healing of the sick, not only they of who have the coronavirus disease, but Lord, there are many other people who are sick with other things and who are afraid to go to the doctor or can't go to the doctor. Lord, I know places around here that dentists that have been closed for months. So Lord, heal miraculously everybody who's sick with anything that they might have under the sound of my voice and beyond. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would comfort those who are grieving. They either have somebody dying in their house or somebody dying at the hospital, or they're dying themselves. And we pray that you will comfort them as only you can. Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort. And Holy Father God, help each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, who claim to be Christians. Lord, if we are, help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love, and to our first works. Holy Father God, help us to obey the commandments that we have rejected and forsaken, the simple, two simple commandments that you gave us to do as Christians, which we have not done. We've done everything else. We've created all kind of methods and new ideas, but we have not kept these commandments. We have not kept the Great Commandment, nor have we kept the Great Commission. We have been removed from the simplicity that is in Christ by the devil. God, have mercy and grace upon us for falling for such a delusion, For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. We made something that was beautifully made simple and given to us and passed down to us into something complicated and difficult. And we have failed you. That's just the reality. And I know that there are pastors who will say otherwise and will say that Christianity is just wonderful today and the church is right where it's supposed to be, but that's not true. And I believe that's the reason why the church is shut down and should be shut down by you. That this chastisement, this plague is upon the church first. For we have let you down. We've let our children down. We've let our families down. And we have let the nation down and the world down. For those of us who have traveled around the world, we know how the world, how America permeates every country of the world. And we have failed you and a whole lot of people. And I believe a whole lot of people are in hell because of this modern day Laodicean church. All I can say and all I can ask is, God, for Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy. And Lord, in spite of us, raise up laborers into the whited harvest fields. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of passing out some gospel tracts on last night. And Lord, I do pray that you'll help us to continue to do that. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray that in this contactless form, that souls would be saved and lives would be changed, your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ exalted. And Holy Father God, we pray as many people, especially in America, because we are a weak people, contrary to what many people think. We can't take much. That's why we have this explosion of cases and deaths in this country, once considered the greatest country in the history of the world. And we pray, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, you would indeed deliver each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, particularly from all of our distresses and afflictions, with thanksgiving. Help us to always give you thanks, even in our distresses and afflictions. Deliver us from all of our cares, worries, and anxieties. Deliver us from all of our tribulations and troubles and trials and temptations and testings and tensions. Today, in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Help us to do our part. Help us to do what we can. Help us to do what we know we should do. And Lord, help us all to understand what one of my children put up in one of the publications yesterday, how that you bless obedience. You always have, and you always will bless obedience. Help us to humble ourselves, pray and seek your face, and repent and obey you in every area of our lives. Grant us your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that. Please deliver us from all spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, family, life, financial, material, food crisis, housing crisis for so many people. Lord, so many people are driving new model cars, but they have eviction notices at home. They have foreclosure notices at home. And they're driving their new model cars to food pantries. This has never been seen in our lifetime. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that you'll help people to get real, real fast and put their priorities straight and accept the situation, because the situation is getting ready to get worse, and to move into something that they can afford and handle, even though it's going to be far, far less than what they're in. And not depend upon the big G-O-V, but depend upon the big G-O-D, you. Lord, help them to bite the bullet and go head on and make that move quickly, because things are going to get worse. And Holy Father God, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cast all of our cares and burdens and worries upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart in spite of what's going on. And Holy Father God, we pray also today that you would protect us, protect our family, all other families that name the name of Christ, all other families, from ourselves, from our flesh, and from the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family. Protect us from evil people in the church. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Surround us with a band of your holy angels and a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us, our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits and consciences, in the precious blood of Christ. Lord, thank you for that last chapter that we just read. And help everybody to realize that you do not play, and that each and every one of us will reap what we sow. For your holy word makes it clear, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word. Help us to take heed to it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I now have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure and joy to read in your hearing the word of God. Thus saith the Lord in Micah chapter 5. I say that little introductory deal because I really mean it. That's in my heart to say. And from the Lord. And that's how I truly feel. It is. It's just a great, it's a high honor and a distinct privilege. But it's also a great pleasure and joy to read the Word of God if you are a born again person. Now, if you're not saved, you're bored to tears. That's all right. And we already knew that this would kill our crowd, and it did. But we gained a whole lot more sincere subscribers, and these people made this suite of Bible reading podcasts number one, number two, and number three in recent months. So we thank God out of the 50 plus podcasts we do each month. And so we thank God for the faithful few. We thank God for the remnant. We thank God for his faithful 7,000. With that, Micah chapter 5. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. And then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Pardon me. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. And I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your holy word. And I pray that your holy word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would help us to inhabit, to find a lodging place in our hearts and in our minds, souls, and spirits, that we would remember it and retain it, meditate on it, and understand it, and then apply it to our own lives, and to obey it, and to share it with others, and to tell others about Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel from it, because your holy gospel is based upon your holy scriptures in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And we pray that you'll help us to not only soak it up and enjoy it ourselves, but Lord, to be always about getting it out to other people who need it the most. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, episode number 663, where I read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary or some other reputable commentary or study Bible. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim, therefore, of this simple podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived again and that the world would be awakened and saved from the wrath of God to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing in Jesus Christ, from hearing the gospel that he preached first and best in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, I don't care who you are or where you are, we're living in very dangerous times, and you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if you want your eternal soul saved from hell and saved to heaven. Believe in Christ in your heart. Believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt, was buried, and rose on the third day. He is the eternal sacrificial Lamb of God who died for your sins and for mine. And all you have to do is believe in him as he said in John 3:16. And pray and ask him, call on his name to save your soul, and he will save you. And do it now. If you're on your sick bed, he'll save you. If you're on your deathbed, he'll save you. If you're in the hospital, he'll save you. Wherever you are right now, you don't have to be in the church. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to get baptized. Just get saved and let Jesus take care of the rest of all of that in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, today we are reading Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I know that you're sitting high, but you're looking low. And I praise you and I thank you for looking over us and watching over us and being with us all at the same time, knowing everything about us. And I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. Lord, fill us who are saved with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and help us to understand your Holy Word as we read it, and to, with the purpose of sharing it with others and witnessing to others about Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. Verse 3, why doest thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Ladies and gentlemen, I just read in your hearing Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. Now here is the sense of it, or the understanding of it. And we're still using the Faith Life Study Bible for our introductory matter. They do a pretty good job. Habakkuk contends with two main questions: why God permits evil to flourish, and how, if God is righteous, a wicked nation could function as the means of judgment. Habakkuk also protests that the righteous himself, included, are suffering punishment alongside those who deserve such judgment. Yahweh answers by declaring that the righteous shall live by faith. In other words, the prophet will have to trust that God knows what he is doing. And may I say here to you today, you need to learn that as well. No matter how dire the situation, no matter how confusing the situation is, you need to understand that God knows what he's doing, and that God loves everybody and he wants the best for everybody, for he is God. Back to the text. Centuries later, New Testament writers like the Apostle Paul quote this verse to show that faith is the only path to righteousness. Within the book of Habakkuk, Yahweh clarifies why he is just in bringing calamity. He is just, rather, in bringing calamity via the Babylonians. The end of the book signals that Habakkuk finds God's answer sufficient. In the closing verses, he praises God. We still find ourselves in Habakkuk's predicament. We wrestle with God as we try to understand the presence of evil in the world. We are easily and quickly discouraged. Habakkuk reminds us to shift our questions from the evil surrounding us and instead focus on the ways of God. We might not always understand how God works, but if we truly seek him, we will learn the same thing Habakkuk did. God is just, God is faithful, and God is worthy to be praised. We can always cry out to God, knowing that he is good and good for us and good to us. It takes patience to see Yahweh's plans come to fruition, but ultimately He will prevail. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for this delightful time in Your holy word and understanding the purpose of this book. And Holy Father God, I pray that You will continue to deal with our hearts and work in our hearts to understand that You're in control and You know what You're doing and You love us and You want the best for everybody. And so, even though we may not understand how things are moving and working, we need to trust in You. Help us to do that. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Family Devotional Reading of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's wonderful devotional book titled Morning and Evening. This is the podcast. This is episode number 273. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, chose for our scripture reading today 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Our Lord Jesus Christ is ever giving and does not for a solitary instant withdraw His hand as long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim. The oil shall not be stayed. He is a sun ever shining. He is manna always falling round the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from His smitten side. The rain of His grace is always dropping. The river of His bounty is ever flowing, and the wellspring of His love is constantly overflowing. Glory be to God. The Prince of Preachers had a way with words. He had a gift, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Those things are interesting to me. It may not be interesting to you, but I'm interested in how God gifts people. As the King can never die, so His grace can never fail. Daily we pluck His fruit, and daily His branches bend down to our hand with a fresh store of mercy. There are 7 feast days in His weeks, and as many as are the days, so many are the banquets in His years. Who has ever returned from His door unblessed? Who has ever risen from His table unsatisfied, or from His bosom unimparadised? I tell you, this brother was something else. I will never see that word again in my life. This looks like a word that Spurgeon made up. Imparadised. What is that? Oh boy. Glory be to God. His mercies are new every morning and fresh every evening. Who can know the number of his benefits or recount the list of his bounties? Every sand which drops from the glass of time is but the tardy follower of a myriad of mercies. The wings of our hours are covered with the silver of his kindness and with the yellow gold of his affection. The river of time bears from the mountains of eternity the golden sands of his favor. The countless stars are but as the standard bearers of a more innumerable host of blessings. Who can count the dust of the benefits which he bestows on Jacob, or tell the number of the fourth part of his mercies towards Israel? How shall my soul extol him who daily loadeth us with benefits and who crowneth us with loving kindness? Oh, that my praise could be as ceaseless as his bounty. O miserable tongue, how canst thou be silent? Wake up, I pray thee, lest I call thee no more my glory, but my shame. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake right early. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your holy word. And Holy Father God, I give you praise and honor, Lord, for the giftings that you give people. And I rejoice in how you gift certain people to do certain things. And Lord, you gave him the motherload of gifts. And no wonder, Lord, even to this day, we call him the Prince of Preachers. And Lord, we thank you for using him once again to knock another home run, to run another touchdown of blessing to our hearts from your holy word. And we pray that you'll help us to remember it and help us to remember your holy word and remember how he expounded upon it. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to change by it. And to live for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. And for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and the Savior, here is how you can be saved from hell. And walk with the Lord morning and evening until you go to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin, the Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Since we all have sinned, that means that we have all have lied in our lifetime. We all have stolen things, regardless of value. We all have lusted in our hearts after people and things. We all have dishonored, disobeyed, disrespected our parents at times. We all have dishonored God by taking His name in vain. And we all may not have done each and every one of those things, but we all have done at least one of those things. Why? Because the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. The reason why these wonderful, priceless, beautiful, oftentimes bodies die is because of sin. And so our bodies will go to the grave, our souls will go to hell if we reject Jesus Christ and do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, to spend eternity. That's how terrible and bad sin is in God's sight. In the Old Testament, God says He is angry with the wicked every day. God hates sin. It messes up His creation. It messes up our lives, and we all know it. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, notice how serious and earnest Jesus Christ is about this matter. He says in one of His sermons, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than He did about heaven. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ described hell as a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And in this sermon, He said that it's better for you to go to heaven with just one hand and just one foot than to go to hell with two feet and two hands. So if I were you, I would take heed to the meek and lowly one, Jesus Christ, who happened to be a hellfire and brimstone preacher, more so than most preachers today, and believe in Him. Because I'm here to tell you today, very sincerely, that if you close your eyes in death, not believing in Jesus Christ, you will open your eyes in hell, in torments, as did the rich man that Jesus told about in the Holy Bible. And so, with that backdrop, dear friend, hell is bad news. Very bad news. But I have some good news for you. You do not have to go to hell. It's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said it first and best when he preached and said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Just do what Jesus told you to do. Don't listen to other people. Just listen to what Jesus said. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," he was talking about himself, "that whosoever," that word whosoever means anybody at any time, that includes you, "believeth" means to trust in and have faith in. You can do that. God, yes, he made it very easy for us to get saved. "Whosoever believeth in him," in Jesus Christ, "should not perish." That means if you believe in Jesus Christ right now, you will not go to hell. If you believe in Jesus Christ right now, you will have eternal life. You will have everlasting life according to Jesus Christ. You can do that in an instant right now. Just believe in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. And then call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 11, 9 and 13 rather, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is as simple as that. So, dear friend, as you're believing in your heart in Jesus Christ, call on his name with me. Repeat after me what is called the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I've committed some of those sins that were mentioned. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, to turn from my evil life, and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, and if you pray that prayer with me and mean it from your heart, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my free book. It's a free download titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop.